This morning, God's Word comes to us from Psalm 66. Psalm 66, we'll be reading the 20 verses of this chapter. Psalm 66, we begin at verse 1. What we hear now is God's Word. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Give to Him glorious praise. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you. All the earth worships you and sings praises to you. They sing praises to your name. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in His deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him who rules by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard, who has kept our souls among the living and has not let our feet slip. For You, O God, have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs. You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. Yet You have brought us out to a place of abundance. I will come into Your house with burnt offerings. I will perform my vows to You, that which my lips uttered and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to You burnt offerings and fattened animals. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will tell you what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. I invite you once again to turn to the back of your Psalter hymnals, this time to page 63 and page 64 in the back section. This is a Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 52, and this morning we turn our attention to question and answer 128 and 129. I will read the questions, and you may respond with the answers. From page 63 at the bottom, question 128. What does your conclusion to this prayer mean? Then from page 64, what does that little word amen express?
Amen means, this is sure to be. It is even more sure, and I listen to my prayer, and I
really desire. Well, this morning we come to the end of an extensive series of sermons on the basic truths of the Christian faith. It is our regular practice to preach the Word of God as summarized in the Heidelberg Catechism to take us through a systematic study of all these wonderful basic truths. The Catechism speaks about, in the beginning, about the comfort we have of belonging, body and soul, in life and in death, to our faithful Savior Jesus Christ. And then fleshes that out throughout the rest of the Catechism, this comfort that gives us assurance, that gives us hope, that gives us confidence. We talk about the Apostles' Creed and all the truth given to us there, that creed based on the triune nature of God. We have God as our Father. We have Jesus Christ as our Redeemer. We have the Holy Spirit as our Sanctifier. We talk about the sacraments, the gifts of God to His church, in the sacrament of baptism, in the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. We spent an extensive time talking about the law of God. That law as a response of gratitude for believers. Yes, it's true that reading the law points out our sins and drives us to Christ. But having been assured of our forgiveness, the law now teaches us how we should live for God. And we have spent the last several weeks looking at the prayer Jesus himself taught us to pray, the Lord's Prayer. We saw that prayer has a particular structure. It begins with an address to God. We address him not as a God far off, but as a Father. Our Father who art in heaven. We've talked about the petitions of the prayer. And now we come to the last part, the end. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And we call this the doxology of the prayer. Children, doxology just means a blessed word or a good word. We end the prayer having begun addressing God. Now we end telling God how great he is. We end praising him. For his is the kingdom, and his is the power, and his is the glory. The prayer ends with unbridled praise to God. And if we think of our own prayers, how much time do we spend praising God simply for who he is? If you're like me, you want to get right away to the petitions. This is what I want. This is what I need. God, do this for me. But there's also that place for just spending time praising God. And in that, the Psalms can be a huge help to us. The Psalms help us to focus our praise to God on who he is, on what he has done. Psalm 66 is one of those Psalms. It helps us to bring praise and honor, a prayer of praise to God our Father. The Psalm begins, "Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise." We are there to praise our God and our King. "For yours, O God, is the kingdom." And notice it says, "Shout to God, all the earth." Sometimes, as we've talked about in our evening services, sometimes we think of the kingdom only as something future, something to come. That when we finally die and go to be with God in heaven, we'll be in the kingdom then. Sometimes we think of the kingdom as confined only to the church. That only what we do here has kingdom significance. But as we have seen, the kingdom of God is a worldwide kingdom. Shout for joy to God, all the earth, everyone, everywhere, is obliged to bring praise and honor and glory to God. For he is the king of the kingdom. He is the one who rules. We hear the words, "Say to God, how awesome are your deeds, so great is your power that your enemies come cringing to you." Praise God. Sing the glory of his name. Give to him glorious praise for who he is. Praise the name of God. God's name, children, is more than just something that we call him. God's name and his descriptions say something about him. God is righteous. God is holy. God is just. We may spend time praising God, thanking him for each of his attributes. We're thankful he is a righteous God. We praise him for being a righteous God. Can you imagine what it would be like if God was an unjust God? If there was no justice in the universe, that things did happen in a haphazard way. No reason to give a God like that praise, but God is righteous. He has set a standard of right and wrong. We can know truth from falsehood. We praise him for that, for his righteousness, for his justice, that he is a king who metes out perfect justice. God does not let the wicked go unpunished. Oh, it may seem like that in this life, but there is a final, eternal reckoning before the king. We praise God for being a just God. We praise the King for being merciful. And in spite of the fact that in his justice we would stand condemned, yet the King is also merciful. The King sent his Son. The king sent Jesus Christ and gave him the name above every name. We praise the name of Jesus, who was sent to die for the sins of his people. Praising God the King for who he is. Praising God the King for what he has done. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds. Telling God how great he is. Now, if that were simply for a human, we'd say, how vain, how boastful. But God deserves all the adoration. God deserves all the acclaim. The psalmist says, not only tell each other, but tell God how awesome he is. I know, children, we use that word awesome a lot today. We talk about last night, the awesome fireworks. Or we talk about this awesome new pair of shoes I got. Or we talk about, oh, I had a really awesome hot dog for supper last night. And we use that word all over the place. And I'm guilty of the same thing. But it's a word that really belongs to God. That great king is the only one who really deserves that acclaim. Say to God, how awesome are your deeds? So great is your power that the enemies come cringing to you. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds for the children of man. Awesome is a God term, a divine term. It describes the great and the only King. For yours, O God, is the kingdom, and the kingdom is great because, you know, children, that's where the King lives. God's name, God's description, God's attributes help us to bring praise to Him. For thine is the kingdom, O God, and the power. And notice, it is a power that finds its expression and its direction in man. Verse 5. Come and see what God has done. He is awesome in his deeds toward the children of man. God's greatness, God's power, is directed as a blessing to us. His powerful, mighty workings are on our behalf. And the psalmist gives one clear example. He has turned the sea into dry land. They pass through the river on foot, referring to the Exodus from Egypt. How Israel was taken out of the land of Egypt. God delivered them with his mighty and awesome powerful hand through those 10 plagues that God gave. And then, as they went out of Egypt, they found themselves faced with an insurmountable obstacle. Ahead of them, the water. They couldn't get through. No place to go. No human solution. Behind them, Pharaoh and his army coming to trap them in. Israel was stuck with no way out, no human solution. And so what happens? God acts. The awesome God in his deeds toward the children of man. He turned the sea into dry land. The waters opened up, children, and Israel walked through with dry feet. The mighty, awesome power of God. His power to take an impossible situation, a situation from which there was no escape, Pharaoh on one side, the sea on the other side, and Israel caught, trapped. God takes that impossible situation, and by a mighty, powerful miracle, opens up the way of deliverance. What a picture for us today. We still find ourselves in need of God's awesome power, in need of his mighty hand of deliverance. We find ourselves caught by our sin, pushed up against the waters of our own inability to do anything to fix the problem. and the hosts of Satan behind chasing and closing in. We are caught in an impossible situation with no human way out. But the awesome God comes down and opens a path through the sea. The awesome God comes down in the very form of His own Son, Jesus Christ, and offers up His life for our life. We were stuck in a death sentence, the sea on one side and the hosts and the enemies on the other side. And yet God comes and miraculously makes a way, although it costs Him the death of His own Son. Talk about awesome power. The ability to save us and to wash us from our sins. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the river on foot. There did we rejoice in Him who rules us by His might forever, whose eyes keep watch on the nations. Let not the rebellious exalt themselves. Yes, it was deliverance for Israel. At the same time, God's awesome power was destruction for Egypt. Israel came through on dry land. But when Egypt tried, without acknowledging God, without recognizing God as the awesome power, the waters came crashing down on them. We must not forget that God's awesome power is exercised in behalf of His people. But it is vengeance. It is righteous wrath against those who will not acknowledge Him. So the call goes out again today. When you find yourself entrapped by your sin, stuck with no way out, don't try to make it through the sea on your own power. But acknowledge the awesome God. Confess your sin. And know the only sure way through. A path paved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Yours, O God, is the kingdom. Yours, O God, is the power. And yours, O God, is the glory. Verse 8. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of His praise be heard. Who has kept our souls among the living and has not let our feet slip. We bless our God for what He has done, and yet our lives then are given to bring Him more glory. To acknowledge it was His deliverance that brought us through, and now we sound forth His praises that they may be heard. We don't point the finger at ourselves and say, look how great we are, look what we have done, look at our accomplishments. But we point at our God. Look at what He has done. He receives the glory. If we sang earlier this morning, not unto us, O God, not unto us, but to Your name be the glory. As we live our lives, and if we are trying to be consistent in our walk, if we're trying to be consistent in living out of gratitude according to the law, it should be noticeable. It should be remarkable. And some might ask, you know, why do you live the way you do? Why do you train your children that way? Why do you make these choices about the various things in your life? And we don't say, well, it's because I'm a really great guy. I'm just a really smart dude. We don't say that. We say, I have a great God. We point the praise away from ourselves, the glory away from ourselves, and bring the glory to Him. In times of blessing, even in times of trial. The psalmist, in the midst of this psalm of praise, praising God for His awesome works, praising God for His glorious power, he says, verse 10, for You, O God, have tested us and have tried us as silver is tried. In times of trial, we are called to bring glory to God. Talks about silver being tried and refined. Children, when silver is made pure, what they do is they take that metal and they heat it up really, really, really hot. And it becomes a liquid. And so a solid ring, if you take a ring, mine's gold, but if you take a silver ring and heat it really, really hot, it becomes a liquid. And on the top of that, there's all the impurities, all the junk in the silver floats to the top. And what the silversmith will do is he will take a tool and just scrape that top level off, so what's left is pure silver. That's called refining. And if he wants to make it even more pure, he heats it even hotter. And more of the impurities rise to the top, and he scrapes them off again. To make the purest silver takes the hottest heat. The psalmist says, "You have tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried." When we go through times of difficulty and trial in our life, we must remember God is still in control. He is perhaps bringing to light our own impurities. Those parts in our heart yet that will not acknowledge Him, that will not trust Him. And He turns up the heat that we may be purified. The psalmist says, "You brought us into the net. You laid a crushing burden on our backs." The cares of life are like a crushing burden to us. But when that burden is so heavy, it exposes whom we really trust. Do we trust ourselves to fix the problem? Or do we turn our eyes toward the glory of God, trusting Him to act on our behalf? You let men ride over our heads. We went through fire. We went through water. We went through everything, the psalmist says. And yet, You have brought us out to a place of abundance. When going through the trial, that's hard for us to remember. But God is working to refine. He is working to purify, that our lives might be more ready to bring glory to Him. More ready to acknowledge His greatness, His power, His kingdom, and His majesty. God brought us through, testing us, refining us like silver, bringing us into the net, being caught, crushing burden on our backs, through fire, through water, and yet You brought us out to a place of abundance that we might bring glory to God, that we might tell others what He has done. And that's how the psalmist then concludes in verse 16. "Come and hear, all of you who fear God. I will tell you what He has done for my soul." The psalmist gives this final personal testimony about what God has done for him. When we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. We have made all these requests of you because as our all-powerful King, you not only want to, but are able to give us all that is good. Because of your holy name and not we ourselves should receive the praise forever." And then why do we add the word amen? Amen means this is sure to be. It is our saying, we believe our prayer. We believe God can act and God will act in accordance with all of His holy will. And that's why we pray to Him. Amen, children, is not a code word saying, okay, the prayer's over, we can open our eyes now. It means this is really going to happen. As the Catechism says, it is even more sure that God listens to my prayer than that I really desire what I pray for. God is more ready to hear than we even give thought to the words that we say. Come. Come and hear, all of you who fear God. I will tell you what He has done for my soul. A personal testimony. I believe what God will do. I cried to Him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. The prayer is a prayer for believers, for those who reject the ways of iniquity. The prayer is a prayer of those who embrace the truth that God is all-powerful, all-sovereign, and their Father. The Lord's Prayer is a Christian prayer. we sometimes use it almost like an all-purpose prayer. Well, I got to pray somewhere. We have a business meeting. I got to open with prayer. I'll just use the Lord's Prayer. It's a prayer for believers. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. If you are here this morning and have not embraced Jesus as your Savior, if you do not know God as Father, then all of this other stuff about God's kingdom and His power and glory are meaningless until you acknowledge Him as your God. The prayer you need to pray is the simple prayer, I acknowledge my sin, God forgive me. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But for those who know Him, but truly God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because He has not rejected my prayer or removed His steadfast love from me. The certainty of the love of God. He has not, He will not reject the prayers of His people. He has not, He will not turn a deaf ear to us. Amen. This is sure to be. Even more surely than I have made these requests, I am sure God will listen to my prayer when I pray in Jesus' name. The privilege of talking to God in prayer and praising Him for who He is. Praising Him as the only King, for yours is the kingdom. Praising Him for His truly awesome power, for yours is the power. Praising Him for His glory, and yours is the glory forever. We believe it. We are sure. Amen. Lord our God, how we thank You for the privilege of prayer, the privilege of talking to You, the King of the kingdom. Lord God, forgive us when we take prayer lightly, when we don't follow Your instruction to speak to You as You have called us to speak. May our prayers be characterized by praise, by adoration, by glorying in who You are and what You have done. We thank You for the great gift of salvation You provided in Your Son, Jesus Christ. May our lives reflect that we know and live that truth. Lord God, may You in our lives receive the glory for the things that we do, for the works of our hands. May all glory and praise go to You. And Lord, in times of trial, when You bring us through fire and water, when we are tested and tried as silver, we ask You to give us strength and courage until You bring us through to that place of abundance. We know, O God, that You will hear us. You have not rejected our prayers. You have not removed Your steadfast love. But You've heard our voice. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.